Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Feels like every few years, the teachers
every year,
threatening to strike or on strike. So why do we feel like this is a cycle of you keep threatening to strike? What are we not giving you? And I mean we, meaning I'm a taxpayer. What do the teachers need to feel valued or to stop threatening or actually striking? We're going to find out. Megan Bolt is the spokesperson for the Minneapolis Federation of Educators. She is contracting with the union, and the union representing Minneapolis teachers and support staff has threatened a strike authorization vote for later this week. Megan is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Why are the teachers, why is the union threatening to have a strike authorization vote? What do you want?
Well, the main things that educators are looking for: one, enforceable and reasonable class size and special education caseloads. Right now, there are suggested guidelines for class sizes, but they're not enforceable. So that doesn't mean anything if the district isn't going to follow them. So, for example, last year, a third of kindergartners in Minneapolis public schools were in class sizes above the district's current guidelines of no more than 22 students. There's also asking for fair pay for educators. Our support staff doesn't make a living wage right now. That's a problem across the state. Those who teach our adult students aren't paid the same as other teachers. And the teachers make less than surrounding and similar districts. They can go across the river in St. Paul and make more money. So it's going to be hard to keep great educators in MPS when they can go make more somewhere else.
Megan, the problem is that the Minneapolis School District continues to face a significant, you know, problems with funding and dropping enrollments. I feel like often when we hear stories like this, it's like, whether it's administration and teachers, I feel like they're really on the same side of this, but they're facing just headwinds in public education everywhere, and even more so in Minneapolis, where they're just facing declining enrollments. I would like to believe that Minneapolis public schools would like to have smaller class sizes for their teachers. But isn't this just an uphill battle that really Minneapolis public schools has a difficult time controlling the headwinds they face?
I mean, absolutely. Chronic underfunding at the state and federal level are a problem. But also, these requests aren't unreasonable, and a budget's a moral document. And they can spend their money differently with the money that they have. Right now, Minneapolis Public Schools spends millions of dollars on outside contracts and retaining staff instead of keeping experienced educators in the classroom. And this is more than similar districts by quite a bit. And it also holds reserves well above what's recommended for schools. So the money is there to do these things. Again, they are reasonable requests that the district could handle if they prioritize their budget differently.
Who doesn't want to give it to you? Is it Mayor Fry? Is it the Democratic Socialists of America? Who is not properly funding Minneapolis public schools?
So the city does not fund public schools. So the biggest chunk is state funding, and then property taxpayers in the district, and then the federal government. So like the federal government itself, it gets about 10%. It's about 10% of the budget for Minneapolis public schools. The biggest chunk
So I'm asking, who makes the budget decisions? Who is the decision maker saying we're not going to give this money? Like, who's to blame for this? And I want names. I want to know who's at fault for this.
It's district administration and the school board make the decisions for this. And we're in mediation right now, so we don't want to go back and forth. That's an agreement you usually have when you're going into these sort of issues and putting blame. But ultimately, you know, the school board is the boss of the superintendent, and those two entities have to make the decision at the end of the day.
If there was one thing, you talked about mediation going on right now and the strike vote wouldn't happen until later in the week, what would avoid that? Is there even like one thing that the district could say and say, okay, we'll meet you here and let's avoid this by doing this? What would that be?
Again, we can't say exactly what's going on in contract negotiations. That's
understand.
What happens in mediation.
Sure, but if there was one issue that said, let's solve this, what would be amenable to teachers?
I mean, class size is a big issue right now for and special ed caseloads. I mean, and that's not just for educators. It's for families as well. And there's, you know, hundreds of parents that are organizing. They've been at school board meetings. They've been talking to school board members that say they want this. And you talked about enrollment, and it's a tough one when you want to invest, but you're having declining enrollment, but you have to make some investments to attract families back to the school district. So, you know, the bottom line is unless they reach a tentative agreement today, there will be a strike vote starting on Thursday.
We're speaking with Megan Bolt. She's the spokesperson for the Minneapolis Federation of Educators. That's the union representing Minneapolis teachers. Megan, if you could give advice to the school board, because it's my understanding now from our discussion that the school board is not, that the teachers feel the school board is not properly allocating funds and making class sizes workable. So if you could tell the school board what to do, they have a budget. They have a fixed budget. It's a certain amount of money. Where should they take the money from to create lower class sizes, to increase the pay and help with the special education caseloads? How should they allocate the money and where should it come from?
So I would say three top issues. Again, spending money on outside contracts, on people that are not involved in the district, that gets very expensive.
And like what? Give me an example of what that is.
It can be
where
anything.
Are they spending
it
money?
Consulting, you know, bringing people in to help with shortfalls. But, you know, the big thing is consulting. You know, they might bring someone in for a project or things like that. They're spending less or spending more than similar sized districts. You know, retraining staff. You know, these sort of things are millions of dollars, and Minneapolis is losing more educators and having more turnover than similar districts as well. And, you know, anyone in business, you know, nonprofit, government will tell you it's expensive to bring new people in and retrain them. And then also to the rainy day fund is kind of what they call it. You know, keeping reserves in there, and that's something you have to do. Any smart business, any, you know, smart government entity is going to do that, but that money is above the recommended amount for school districts. So those three places are pockets of money or pockets that they could bring in millions of dollars to help some of these things happen.
So your message to the school board is get rid of the consultants. Everybody hates consultants. Get rid of the consultants and use some of the rainy day fund to increase teacher pay and make class sizes smaller and pay the paras more. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And that's going to be the kind of stuff. And it's not just wages that are going to keep people you know, keep staff in the Minneapolis public schools with that retraining budget. If they see they're investing in, you know, the working conditions for educators, which are the learning conditions for students, more educators are going to stay because they feel they're being listened to and heard and are going to have classes that are more manageable and classes that they can spend more individual attention on students. You know, if you have, you know, 40 plus students in a English class, it's hard to, you know, hard to give them the attention that they need and deserve.
This is a question always that comes up when we talk about teacher strikes, and I don't think it's an unfair one. You say that teachers love to be teaching their kids, and I don't doubt that at all. How then can you be threatening to walk out on those kids over even which I'm sure are very important issues to you, but in leaving those kids without teachers and disrupting class? Why is it that important?
They're fighting for the students. And contracts dragging out, negotiations dragging out. You know, they started negotiating in April. And the district has made not nearly significant movement to settle this contract. So to have kids in safe, stable schools where they have, you know, they know their educators, they aren't, you know, in classrooms that are too crowded. This isn't just about wages. You know, this is about keeping people in the classroom. And again, no one wants to strike, but they do know that the parents are behind them. They have hundreds of parents organizing. People are complaining about class sizes and the services that their special needs students are receiving. And again, you know, it just seems like sometimes it has to get to this point where to get the district to be serious at the table.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it gets to this point a lot. Do you guys have to renegotiate a contract every year?
Every 2 years. So that's why it seems like state law in Minnesota is very different than some other, you know, other states are. So that's why it seems like it's coming up so often. And a lot of times negotiations for some of these districts aren't happening until the contract expires. So it seems like it's happening time and time again. And, you know, luckily they did start, you know, some districts are starting to negotiate earlier, but that's why it seems like every 2 years, year and a half, these are coming up in districts.
Mm-hmm. Well, voting begins Thursday and continues through Monday, and we will be watching it. And Megan, thank you so much for joining us and giving the perspective of the Federation of Teachers in Minneapolis. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
Megan,
thank
Holt.
You, Megan.
Yeah. We'll take a break. Lots to react to. Text coming in, and Jor and I will react to this as well. Adam and Jordana, 1119 on WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what to do about this, Adam. I mean, we try to solve the world's problems on this show. Sounds like we got the Middle East under control, right? I mean, you and I talking about that. But the Minneapolis schools, I just feel like it's a battle every 2 years. If there's a strike, it's the kids who miss out. It's the kids who lose. It's the families in Minneapolis. And the Minneapolis numbers aren't great for success in public schools. It feels like we're doing this wrong.
And I
don't know what the answer is, though. Like, I'm exasperated.
The problem isn't a lack of, you know, property tax dollars being recouped from Minneapolis taxpayers because...
No.
If you live in Minneapolis or St. Paul, you know that your taxes are incredibly high. and mm-hmm. the schools are not reflective of that in many cases, mm-hmm. not all cases. But what I was asking her, too, is the problem that, you know, school administrators and teachers, I think in the end they all want the same thing, but they're just battling over issues that they really can't control by and large. I mean, yes, you can control the dollars that you spend on a part of an administration as to what you think that money should go towards to have the best possible outcome for the students. But this is one of those situations where it's you either are on the side of a teacher's union thinking that the teachers are absolutely right in what they're asking for or mm-hmm. that they're being somehow greedy in what they want. And I don't think that's the case. But the problem is the battle they're having, I don't think is many times with the Minneapolis School District. It's with the whole system in general about what is proper funding of public schools. And we're in the midst of that battle where, okay, you just throw money at the problem. Is that going to solve it? Clearly, and there's many just people fighting against that, saying our public schools overall aren't doing the job that they should be. That's why we should invest in private education or different forms of public education. And that's the battle that's waging there. And I feel like the Minneapolis Public School District and the teachers are fighting over something that really those aren't the two opposing sides to this.
Some of your texts, because my response to that is exasperation. I say, give the teachers all the money. Mm. Give the schools everything they need to have successful kids. And they do have a large budget. Someone even texted, Minneapolis receives twice as much per pupil than at St. Michael Albertville schools. And St. Albert schools has 10 times the results. Another texter. My daughter-in-law's sister works in the Minneapolis public school system. Her classroom size is 30 plus kids, and many of these children are immigrants, which is fine, but they do not speak English at all. So teaching is a major, and I mean major, issue. That is a problem. You're right. If they don't speak English and they're in anything other than kindergarten, right. You know, that's a problem. Yeah. Yes. Come on, you two, stop being so politically incorrect. It's a crappy home life and it's crappy parents. The teachers are great in Minneapolis, but they only get them 8 hours a day and the family gets them 16 hours the day. Okay. I mean, you can't let us play crappy parents.
Right. Okay. So what's the solution then?
Yeah. What's the solution? Don't fund the schools properly. Keep having big class sizes. Give up on these kids. That's not a good solution.
I also don't know if I'd blame the home life because my wife is a special education teacher in Brooklyn Park. Yeah. And there's a lot of kids that she, not at this school, but her school actually closed down at the end of June. And she had to, they consolidated all the teachers to the various schools in the area. So now she went from being at Crestview to, I believe, Birch Grove Elementary. And a lot of the kids at those schools, they're living out of cars. Like I don't necessarily think the home life always comes into play when it comes to, you know, learning and some of the, you know, the help that these kids are getting. They're still going to school. They're still in class. They're still participating and still getting the curriculum done. So,
Josh, folks are asking me to turn up my mic. Am I really low today?
You're fine on my end.
No. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. Jordana, Minnesota. This is a texter. Minnesota is outspending most states on education, yet we are slipping on scores. Spending enough money isn't the issue. Maybe we should focus on core teaching, reading, math, science. Stop spending all the money on miscellaneous social programs. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I am. Like I said, take all my money. But it doesn't seem to be working. It feels like nothing's working.
I'm all for reexamining how we teach our kids. We've had that conversation before about different reading, the new different mm-hmm. reading style mm-hmm. that is being implemented that shows better outcomes instead of just teaching kids to mm-hmm. pass standardized tests so that a school district can say, well, our percentage of kids who's passing that test, that's this, and that's all we care about. I get it that outcomes are just not test scores based on math tests and reading tests that 8th graders or 10th graders or 6th graders take. I get that. Again, that's just, I feel like I totally understand where the teachers are coming from, and I understand where the administration is coming from. The dollars just aren't there to do what we want, and you're fighting with the administration, who is has the same problem that the teachers have. It's like, we don't have the money to spend where we want it to spend. And it's, I think it, this problem is above the Minneapolis Public School District.
She said, you know, we heard Megan say they have a rainy day fund. They need to start spending some of that money. And she said the consultants. I do think organizations are laden with bureaucracy. So, sure, whether it's the consultants or it's high salaries, I don't know what, you know, the school board members or the superintendents are making. I don't know. But I think that also should be revisited as well. I mean, consultants, what are we, I don't know, teacher, I don't know. I mean, I believe in teacher education. I believe in all of that, but there should also be retention so you don't have to keep training new teachers to come in. She said that was a problem. That gets expensive because there's such a high turnover. Again, I don't really know how to solve this problem. That's why we had her on. What do you guys need? But what I'm hearing is this happens, you know, every 2 years when they have to renegotiate the contract. And, thank God people, well, I hope people a lot smarter than me will be figuring this out.
We talked about this yesterday. The high school girls hockey coach that got put on leave, but his players came to save the day. He's joining us next. Wants to talk about the larger problem of coach turnover and how big a problem parents can be to losing good coaches. He's still the Lakeville girls hockey coach and Lakeville North girls hockey coach, Butch Buck Kochever will join us next on WCCO. He thought he lost it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
His job and his players came to his defense. He still is the Lakeville North girls hockey coach, and he joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Buck Kochever. Buck, thanks so much. He joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I know you don't want to get too much into the weeds about what all led to this, but I just wanted to ask you, it must be awfully nice to have your team, the girls that you coach, to show up and voice their support for you. Just as somebody who is dedicated to that sport and those kids, what did that mean for you this week?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on this morning. It's been uplifting to say the least with Lakeville community, especially the players, the parents, all the friends and admin. So they backed me, and I feel good about it because that's truly what I believe in is teaching and coaching. So I'm glad I got my coaching job back, for sure.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Buck. Buck, we get we get a lot of texts on this story when we talked about this situation yesterday. And somebody texted in that, and it said, the best coaching job would be in an orphanage. And because it eliminated the parents. Right. I'd like to know your thoughts on that, because we did get a lot of texts from coaches saying, you know, the parents are the worst part about youth sports.
Well, you know, One of the classes I have to take is on communication. And sometimes I laugh about that because my principal here tells me that's my strongest asset. But anyways, I think communicating is bar none the best thing you can do. Even with good communication comes, they don't see it through, they see it through their eyes only. And it's hard. It's frustrating. But I've been lucky here at Lakeville North for my 25 years with the girls hockey program. I really haven't had any bad parents. Yes, there's a handful, you know, but this one was brought to a different level. And I'm just here to talk about the positives, what I learned, and, you know, how we can move on from that. Because, you know, believe me, you can learn a lot. Every year I learn something new.
Yeah, it's, speaking of learning something new, in the article that the Star Tribune wrote about this, I mean, I had no idea on the turnover, specifically for girls hockey, being 74%. Why is that specific to girls hockey, and what do we do about that, Buck?
I think it comes down to parenting. I mean, really, you can really tell. You don't have to be a hockey coach to figure this out. You can just be a coach potato, really. And you can look, boy, that girl can skate. Yeah. That girl has great edges. This one can pass. Boy, she has good hockey sense. I did that with my own kids. And my dad told me, you know, I'm going D1 and all this stuff. And my dad finally sat me down. He goes, I know you've been playing in all these all-star games, but no one's going to take a 5'10", 135-pound defenseman in 1984. I said, yeah. And that was a hard pill to swallow. Sure. But see, that comes from, well, my dad was a teacher and coached me in high school in three sports, hockey, football, baseball. But see, that's where I came from. I think where some of the stuff went wrong, truly is, back when I grew up, everybody that was coached in high school was a teacher. And I'm not saying you have to be a teacher to be a great coach. That's not it. But it seemed like there were less problems back then when your coach was in the school. And some schools got away from that, and that hurts. But then you're going to say, okay, you're a smart guy or a smart gal, and you can take care of these.
Why is that? Just because you see those kids there on a day-to-day basis? That or what? Why is it important in your mind that a coach be a teacher as well?
Yeah, for me, that's a great question. For me, I've been trained for this. I've been trained to be a teacher. I've been trained to be a coach. I took those classes at Bemidji State. They were great, and I think that the background on that, just because we get the buzzwords and the new stuff that's going on in education, how to treat people and how to talk to people a certain way. So I've been taught that way. And, you know, not all times it worked, but I can catch them off guard a little bit for sure.
What is your message to parents? Do you have a message to parents to make this easier, to make what as a coach? What would you like parents to know to make other coaches' lives easier, to just not be so interfering? That's my message. Sorry, I asked for your message. Yeah. You get to talk.
Easy, took mine. No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No. One thing that this has taught me is the importance of communicating. And I always thought, you know, that's one of my strengths. I know here in my fourth grade class, it's huge. Because sometimes when you have your one-on-one meetings with these girls, you always have to have another coach there, you know, with you. So we bounce questions off everybody. But the number one thing is when these girls leave, I want them, now tell me what I said. You know, can you tell me what are the points here? Because guess what? Mm-hmm. They're agreeing with you, right? Oh, yes, coach. Yes, yes. Big smile on their face. They leave. And then what goes to the moms and dads, they twisted it. Or I don't know if they mean to, but it does get twisted. So I learned that, hey, guess what? I'm going to have these one-on-one meetings. I'm going to type it out. After I read it, I'm going to give it to you. Give that to mom. Give it to dad. Because kids can't remember. I mean, I can't remember half the time, but I write it down, then I just give it to them. But I think with the parents, you know, so number one is communication, but everybody should parent, just parent. My mom said, you know, Marge and I in Eveleth, we just sat back. We just enjoyed watching you guys. We never, you know, we never talked about you guys or talked to the coaches, but times have changed. Yeah. And everybody should take a class on this. I mean, I'd be the first one to run it. Honest to goodness. And we had some great, great coaches out there that have been in worse predicaments than me.
Yeah.
But I'm there now, and my parents are great. I mean, I can't tell you the memories that I've had. Even the ones now that didn't care for me because their daughters didn't get playing time, they're realizing it. But it took like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now since this article came out, now they're texting me, "Hey Buck, I'm so and so blah blah." You know what, boy, you really, really hit home on this. And I'm sorry if I ever proved or said something wrong. I mean, those are nice letters. I just say thank you and move on.
We're talking to Buck Kochever, who is the head girls hockey coach at Lakeville North, who thought he was out of a job, but his players came back and voiced support in front of the school board, and he's still the hockey coach. How much of it, Buck, is the financial investment that parents make in their kids nowadays? In all
probably
sports,
probably number one
is that the.
And how do we? Hockey.
Oh. Yep.
I mean, you know, back in the 80s, even 70s. Well, when my dad coached Eveleth, we got free hockey sticks.
Yep.
Okay, so so every Christian Brothers sent down 16 dozen. So I used to sneak in, not to change the subject, but I used to sneak in, grab a couple of lefties, couple of righties, and then go. You know, give them for a, you know, popcorn and a can of pop at the Eveleth Hippodrome. It was great. Steve Cannon would be going crazy right now if he heard this. But I think it comes down to the money. It comes down to the money. Everything's expensive. Sticks are, you know, even used sticks are over 100, if not more. Everything's expensive. It's too bad, you know. Too bad, but I think that's where it stems from. It's the cash, and they're not getting rewarded up in high school. But guess what? Like I mentioned earlier, you can tell if your daughter or your son, I had two boys, got it or not.
Yep.
Hey, they get it. Boy, look at this. If you can't see that, go out for checkers. Go out for something else instead of something expensive like hockey.
Honestly, too, it's like realize that a team is a team and that your kid may not be on the first or second line, but guess what? There are also role players and are just important to the team. And I think a lot of parents miss that message, too, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this isn't like golf where I was assistant golf coach last year for North. Okay, you got to go out there and you got to shoot. We have a match the day before we have our regular matches, and it comes down to a score. Now, in hockey, no, you have rules, and those rules can change every day. And that's what you have to communicate with, you know, that's what I do with my girls. And it has to go back the right way to the parents. But I say that in our, the first message of the year with the parents and everybody sitting there and we're talking, I'm talking, I'm going through all the rules and stuff. But it's funny. I said, hey, don't text me, things like that. But you know what? They're all agreeing. And then some of them forget that, you know, and they zip one off to me. But like, you know, why did you, you know, what happened here? But I don't want to rip anybody here, but
nobody's listening.
Yeah, I know. But you have to,
Buck,
you have to, you know, I don't know. There's a fine
Buck, how
line.
Much of, sorry. How much of your time, how much of your coaching time is spent dealing with the parents as versus actually coaching?
Honestly, I've been lucky. I've been really lucky.
Okay.
And because I spend all my energy is putting practice plans together. I got a great coaching staff that are, they were all teachers. You know, I had Richie Schricke's Fayette, Steve Sabetti's in the high school, Jimmy Jack, you know, and Aaron Olson, and then my boys. But the bottom line is it's just – You just got to watch yourself nowadays.
Yeah. Let's leave it there. Buck, you come on anytime. Mm-hmm. I think you could take over for us. I think Steve Cannon would be proud if you took over our airwaves.
I thought for sure I'd have the dogs barking and stuff.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, like the old days. Hey, Buck.
Hey, you guys are great. I want to say thanks for reaching out.
Sure.
And I just don't want coaches quitting because of one parent, you know, in their community.
Amen.
That's a no-no, and I want to change that. That's my job. I want. Mm-hmm. I only have a few years left, a couple years left, and I want to support all of them.
Good luck to the Panthers this year in that tough South Suburban Conference. Good luck to you.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yep. Thank you.
Buck Kachiever.
Thanks, Buck.
Yeah. I could play hockey for that guy. I wouldn't play very well.
I love talk.
Coaches are the best, aren't they? Coaches are like, yeah. I know I have a few friends who are coaches, and they're all like that. They're all like just like forces of positivity. And God bless our coaches, right? And he's mm-hmm. by the way, he's a fourth grade teacher. He took a break. Now he's got to go back to teaching fourth graders.
Got to get back to the ground.
Yeah, so that was great.
Yeah.
So great. All right, we'll be right back. Here's a hot take. Sports betting makes people mean. If you have money on a game or an athlete, you are really pissed if they don't deliver. And I am not using this as an excuse, but for the racial slurs directed at cornerback Isaiah Rodgers. But I will say that when you have money on a person or a game, you have skin in that and you feel personally affronted, and it leads people to be worse people than they are.
Well, first of all, they're already bad people. If you think somehow, but you're completely delusional too, that somehow a football player or a baseball player or a hockey player or whatever somehow blew their assignment and it was a personal dig at you and now you didn't win on your fan duel bet or whatever it was. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And and this is another one of those parts of social media that's just exposes just how rotten we are. People who would even criticize, like, would say bad things, but then, like, going racial on someone. Yeah, Isaiah Rodgers,
ridiculous.
Worse than Hitler. Okay.
I mean, what are you doing?
It's just asinine. But again, that's the culture we've created for ourselves, and a big part of the culture is sports betting. Let me tell you something. Lots of people, lots of young people, specifically young men and boys, are very much involved with sports betting, and hopefully they're not doing this. But if you've got young people whose brains aren't formed taking part in sports betting and suddenly they lose a bet because of a bad play, it does not shock me that an underdeveloped brain would somehow say it's that guy's fault and somehow sending, which is a message I'm sure that they don't even think that player is going to get or receive. Mm-hmm. But they do see it, and it's disgusting.
And maybe I would modify my statement saying that, sports betting doesn't cause racism.
No.
It reveals it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, it's not that you were not racist before and your team did badly, and all of a sudden you become racist. No, you were always racist, but sports betting revealed that because you are now publicly owning it, because clearly you cannot control yourself or your anger, and you're not only racist, you're also a bad person with anger management problems. But yes, so sports betting can reveal the true self when you are disappointed. So I'm not saying people who bet on sports are bad people.
No,
but
plenty of people do it.
They're not
normally, and realize that if I lose, it has nothing to do with the coach. That was that play call. But it's more so social media doesn't cause racism. It just reveals it. It's just, and people are incredibly voluntary in revealing their awfulness and racist tendencies, which is shocking to me, but I guess it shouldn't shock me.
No, you're on TikTok. You see it every day.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Jorth. Thanks for a great show. The over-under on your mistakes today was 3.5. I went with the under. So you made me some money, LOL. Happy to do it. And thank you for not sending us any racist texts because we did. I think we went over, though, on the mistakes, though. I got to be honest with you. I'd got to check the tape.
We're going to have to bet on that. How many racist texts will we get today? Yeah. How many mean things will people say? How many times will people call me stupid today? Mm-hmm. We should take bets on our own show. It'd be fun.
Well, we can influence it, though. You could say worse things to try to get more people to hate you, and you're influencing the game. That's why athletes shouldn't bet on games. Chad Harmon is coming up next. We'll do Winging It Wednesday tomorrow on CCL. Have a great day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.